Good Tuesday morning. It's November 21st, and we've got a stormy one out there in Nome and the rest of the region. But this morning, we're talking exchange here on KNOM. I'm your host, Davis, and I'll be joined by KNOM's Margaret DiMaioribus later on in the show. And the exchange program is back again on KNOM. We're talking about sea ice this time, climate and weather trends in Western Alaska. So what are your thoughts on the new National Weather Service's Alaska sea ice forecast that we've been broadcasting? Are you familiar with the latest data from the National Weather Service on Alaska's temperatures? Have you seen sea ice forming near your community? If not, are you wondering when sea ice is coming? To answer these questions and join the conversation, give us a call at 1-800-478-5666, or if you're in Nome, 443-5221, and of course you can always email exchange@knom.org. And, while we're waiting for the calls, we're going to go to our guests now who are on the phone. We have Mary Beth Schreck with the National Weather Service and Rick Toman with the National Weather Service, and I'll let both of them introduce themselves by title. Hi, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And let's start with you, Mary Beth. If you could give your full title and kind of explain what your role is with this part of the exchange program today.
Sure. So I am a sea ice analyst with the National Weather Service here. And so I basically look at satellite imagery and take any reports we get from people that are along the coast or maybe in boats out in the water and put together an analysis of where we see the sea ice and how thick it appears to be. And then we also do a sea ice forecast and three-month outlook here.
That's right. And online, specifically, as you mentioned, Mary Beth, this is called the Alaska Sea Ice Program put on by the National Weather Service. Could you kind of talk about how this started and why these forecasts, sea ice forecasts, are now available for everyone?
Sure. I think actually Rick has a really good history of the sea ice program. I'll let him answer that one if that's okay.
Sure. Rick.
Well, good morning. So I'm Rick Toman, and I work as the Climate Science and Services Manager for NOAA's Alaska region. And history of the sea ice program. Well, those of us of a certain age may cast your mind back to the early days of Prudhoe Bay oil development. And during the 1970s, there were several summers when barges were unable to make it east of Point Barrow because the route was clogged by ice. And after a couple of summers of this, and of course the big expense and the problems that caused, the National Weather Service in 1978 created a sea ice analysis program. At the time, it was based in Fairbanks, and a guy named Bruce Webster was the very first sea ice analyst. Didn't take long before the program moved down to Anchorage, where a lot of the oil industry was centered. And the rest, as they say, is history. To this day, National Weather Service Alaska Region continues to produce sea ice analysis. Now we're up to doing them every single day, and that's where Mary Beth and her team are providing that service to Alaskans.
Excellent. And as Mary Beth, you alluded to earlier, you know, you've got maps and forecasts available online on this website. What are you seeing right now? What kind of information is available through this website specifically? Like if I live in Nome or Shishmaref or St. Lawrence Island, what kind of information can I find about my community or coastal waters?
Well, on our website, we have maps that are in a couple of different forms. The first thing you'll see on our webpage is a zoomable map, so you can actually zoom in to right where your location is, and you can see the concentration of the sea ice. So basically, in in a certain area, how much of that area is covered by sea ice. Excuse me. It's similar to when we look at the sky and say how much of the sky is covered in clouds. Another thing that we have on there is what we call stage of sea ice, which is also similar to the thickness. So from our satellite images or observations, we kind of put them in categories. New ice is the thinnest ice. That's going to be up to about 4 inches thick. Then we have young ice, which is 4 inches up to about 12 inches thick. And then first year thin, and it goes up from there, first year medium, first year thick. And so those are all in categories that are color-coded, and you'd be able to see that. We also have some sea surface temperatures on another map. We do have our sea ice forecast that is available in that graphical zoomable map. Now, on Monday, so those are all done daily, as Rick said. On Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we issue a sea ice forecast, and that forecast goes out about 5 days. And so we do the graphic form, as I mentioned, and we also do a text document that talks about the major weather systems that are coming through, whether it's going to be high pressure, low pressure, any wind directions, wind speeds in a rough, you know, light winds, moderate winds. And then we talk about which direction we expect the sea ice to move, if it's already there, if we expect any to form or to melt. And we try to give an idea of what we expect to change within the next 5 days. One other thing that's on there is our three-month sea ice outlook. That's issued by the fourth Thursday of every month. So we'll actually have one going out on Thanksgiving this year, or this month. And that looks at what is going to happen in the next 3 months. So this one being issued now will be for December, January, and February. And so we'll talk about when we expect ice to begin forming, where it hasn't yet, when we expect it to get maybe to about 3/10 concentration, and then maybe 7/10 concentration, and when it's going to be completely ice covered. So it just gives you an idea of planning for the next few months, what we expect to see in all along the coastal areas.
Thank you, Mary Beth. And Mary Beth is a sea ice analyst with the National Weather Service. She joins us on today's exchange here on KNOM with fellow guest Rick Toman, also from the National Weather Service. And we're talking about sea ice today. If you are seeing sea ice near your community or are not seeing any at all, which seems to be the case for most of our listeners in Western Alaska, feel free to give us a call and join the conversation. You can call 1-800-478-5666 or 443-5221 if you're in Nome, and give us your thoughts, comments, feedback, questions about sea ice. Rick, speaking of open water and sea ice coverage at this point in the season, you gave a presentation recently in Nome about kind of these topics and more, the trends and data that you're seeing throughout Alaska. Could you kind of summarize the main points? I know there's a lot of information in there, but could you summarize the main points for those of us who didn't make it to your presentation?
Sure. Thanks, Davis. It's no surprise to anyone listening this morning. Sea ice is changing from what it was in our parents' and grandparents' day. There is sea ice on average, year to year, is coming later in the season. There is less of a trend, but still some trend, for sea ice to melt out and leave earlier in the springtime, although the biggest trends are in the fall time. And of course, it's not just a matter of the presence or absence of ice, but many people have noted that the quality of the ice during the winter, the mobility of the ice, is also different than it was in decades past. So we're seeing that these are all consistent trends. Of course, Alaska is not alone in this. Decreasing sea ice trends around the Arctic and subarctic around the globe. But interestingly enough, in some aspects, especially in the fall, the trends are strongest right in our part of the world.
That is interesting. And Rick, you mentioned the quality of ice and then obviously a lot of open water, so less sea ice right now. How is the less thicker ice and the less quality ice affecting communities? I'm thinking specifically like Shishmaref and St. Lawrence Island right now.
So there's, of course, many ways that these changes in sea ice, whether it's the presence or absence or the quality of the ice, impacts rural communities. From the hazards side, of course, what we have ongoing the last several weeks, of course, seems like storm after storm impacting western Alaska. There's, of course, nothing new about a stormy fall. That's always been the case. The big difference, though, of course, much less sea ice now than there used to be. So last weekend now, 10 days ago now, significant coastal erosion at Shishmaref from mid-November, and a storm that was not an extreme storm. It was not a super intense storm, but what we had was effectively no sea ice along the coast at Shishmaref, and to the northwest of Shishmaref, completely open Chukchi Sea. So even though the storm itself was not extreme, instead of blowing over partially ice-covered Chukchi Sea with some ice near shore Shishmaref, all that wind blowing over open water, it's a recipe for coastal flooding, for coastal erosion. That lengthening of the open water season, the big factor for western Alaska storm impacts. And then, of course, there's the decreased amount of time for instance, on ice hunting and whaling activities.
Absolutely. Thank you, Rick. And can you also, from the data that the National Weather Service has collected, can you also make any predictions about the next winter storms coming up this season, what residents in coastal communities in western Alaska can expect to see?
Well, we do, of course, have this ongoing storm. At this point, it looks like there actually will be another fast-moving storm later this week. This next one, will take a track farther south. So the impacts from this one will be primarily the Yukon Delta on southward. But we're not out of the woods yet. Of course, lots of discrepancies as we move in the models as we move into the weekend, more uncertainty. But there is indication we may have yet another storm to deal with over the weekend for western Alaska. We'll see how that one plays out. But at this point, we're getting towards the end of November here now, but we're not seeing any definitive hard end to this persistent stormy weather.
All right. And this is Margaret. I'm here with Davis this morning. Thanks so much, Rick and Mary Beth, for sharing this information with us. We have our first caller on the show this morning. Gay in Nome is calling on line one. Gay, what would you like to ask or share with us this morning regarding sea ice?
Yeah, good morning, KNOM, and good morning, Rick and Maribeth. Thank you for talking to Nome. I think everyone goes to the National Weather Service to get good information. Right now, I think a lot of people are watching the sea ice maps, and we notice, it's not coming down. It's coming down extremely slow. There's a very big opening of open water up into the Chukchi and Beaufort and sort of up way up there into the mid 70 north degrees. And so my question is, why do you think that is taking so long to come down? Is it the weather patterns we're currently having, or is it we had very warm water temperatures this summer in the Bering Strait and we're sending all that water north? Is this a result of what we sent to the north from Bering Strait this summer? So that's my first part. And then the second was, I think the woman on right now, she had mentioned she's looking for photos and information on sea ice when we get sea ice or ice that's building in our area. any kind of photos and information, but didn't say exactly kind of what types of information you'd like with that, like date or location, that sort of thing, and where we would send it. So that's my two-part question. Thanks.
All right, Mary Beth or Rick, I'm not sure. Kate, could you just give a quick summary again of the first question so they
first
could answer that one?
Is why is the ice taking so long to close up in the upper Chukchi and head north? And that's either, is it our weather patterns we're currently having, like right now, or is it the amount of hot water we sent up there, relatively hot water that we sent from our very warm water conditions this summer? The second one is regarding where do we send information, what kind of information is National Weather Service looking for from local observers, and where do we send it?
Thank you, Kay. I'm not sure, Mary Beth or Rick, who would like to answer first or address those questions.
I can start off here. One of the biggest factors in the last few years, actually, with the late forming ice through the Chukchi Sea is the warm sea surface temperatures. Right now, the sea surface temperatures are about maybe 34 to 36 degrees or so, and so we're seeing them come down, and you know, I would expect once we start getting sea ice to form there, it's probably going to go relatively quickly, and then hopefully it will continue to thicken. But it may take another, you know, few weeks to really close off that area. I don't know if Rick may have more of a climate perspective on that, but while I'm talking, as far as the reports, if we're seeing sea ice, that is a great thing to send in. So it can be in an email form. It can be just a written description of what you're seeing. I know a lot of people don't have the internet bandwidth to be able to send photos. So a written description is just fine. If you have an idea of how thick the ice is, there's even an estimate is very helpful. And then if there's anything like we can tell ice has only grown out a couple miles because we see fog beyond that, or some description of what you're seeing. Pictures are wonderful if you're able to send them. So these emails can go to our email address that all of our sea ice analysts will get. It's nws.ar.ice@noaa.gov.
All right. Thanks for that, Mary Beth. Gay, did you have any other questions for our guests this morning? Or Rick, did you need to want to address any of those?
Sure, I'll jump in. Thanks very much for your questions, Gay. And I will throw in from the climate point of view, it's also very important to let us know and to document that you don't have sea ice. It's November 21st, and out in front of my community, it's completely open water. That is from the long-term perspective, that is really important to document as well. Just because there isn't any ice doesn't mean we don't want to know. Just the lack of ice is also news. So I'd encourage folks to pass that information on along too. As far as the current huge amount of open water in the Chukchi and Beaufort, as Mary Beth mentioned, we've had the very warm water this summer up and down the west coast of Alaska. Another issue is, of course, we had the ice retreat very far north in the Chukchi and Beaufort Seas at the end of summer, so it's taken a long time. But I think that what's going on in the ocean is really important. During much of October in the area, say, northwest of Utqiagvik, the weather patterns were not unconducive to sea ice formation, no more so than usual, I don't think. But we just didn't see the see the ice forming very quickly, and that's indicative of that excess warmth in the ocean. So that's very important too. Of course, we are at the point now, as many folks are probably aware, we are very low on the ice coverage. In fact, the latest analysis from the National Snow and Ice Data Center shows that the area of the Chukchi and the Bering Sea covered by ice at this date in the season, both of those seas, the ice coverage is the lowest in the satellite era. So that's since the autumn of 1978. So that's really quite remarkable. It's been not dissimilar in a few other years, mostly all recent years, but this is the lowest of the lot. So really speaks to really the changes that we're seeing in sea ice across western and northern Alaska.
Thank you, Rick, for that. And Gay, did you have any other questions to address to our guests this morning?
No, and thank you for answering those. And just wanted to say you pegged the timing of our wind arrival quite well yesterday at 9 o'clock at night. Thanks.
Perfect. Thanks so much, Gay, for calling in this morning. You can join the conversation, too. We have about 5 minutes left for your calls and comments. It is 11:21 on Tuesday morning, and this is your exchange program. We're talking about sea ice today. We have our guests, Mary Beth Schreck and Rick Toman, on the line with us, answering your questions and sharing more information about sea ice. This morning, you can call in directly to us here in the studio, 443-5221, or on our 1-800 line, 1-800-478-5666. If you don't have access to a phone right now, or maybe you don't want to be on the air, you can also submit your comments online. I will take those right here. You can just email me directly, exchange@knom.org.
And Rick, going back to your point there about the satellite images and kind of the era of collecting data through satellites, NOAA had a big announcement earlier this month about a new polar orbiting satellite. It's called the Joint Polar Satellite System, or JPSS. Could you kind of talk about what effects, what benefits perhaps this polar orbiting satellite will have for our region?
Sure, I can talk about that. So yeah, so a brand new satellite going up. Unlike the satellite movies that you might see on the weather program on TV or something, this is a polar orbiter, as you mentioned. So what that means is it goes around the Earth. It goes around about once every 90 minutes. So unlike the satellites that take pictures every few minutes and make those nice movies out of, which those sit over the equator, these go around the Earth every 90 minutes. And so this will provide very high resolution information that will wind up going not just into pretty pictures, but all go into all kinds of physical models, providing information. It provides not just what you think of as satellite pictures, but there's lots of different things that are being measured by the satellite. So it will help improve everything from the Alaska Sea Ice Program's daily sea ice analysis to numerical weather models, big computer models that provide the forecast for things like being able to hit the timing of the winds in Nome in a one-day forecast, right on up to improving seasonal scale climate models that rely on a good initialization, a good current conditions to start the process.
Thanks for that, Rick, and that breakdown. I appreciate that. And speaking of the JPSS, it'll be around just in time to document some La Nina activity, perhaps in Alaskan waters. Mary Beth, I'm going to go to you first, and then Rick, back to you on this one as well. What kind of impact will La Nina have on sea ice and just weather conditions throughout the rest of winter this for us?
Well, as far as sea ice, so last winter we actually had a weak La Nina as well. And so in general, we're expecting to see somewhat similar conditions as what we saw last year. Of course, there will be differences with, you know, where the way whether storms move through the Bering Sea, how far north the storms go, things like that. But I would expect, you know, the continued lower than normal sea ice in the first half of the winter. As we get into you know, late December into early next year, you know, we should see the Bering Sea start really having more ice growth as we did last year. The ice edge actually made it down to St. George Island for a short time, fairly late in the season. So it could, you know, there's a possibility that the ice will make it that far south. You know, it's possible also that with the storms going through, like last year, we saw the sea ice would decrease as a storm came through and some warmer air. And then as soon as that storm left, colder air would come in and the ice would form very quickly again. So that actually kept the ice somewhat thinner, even though the coverage of the ice was farther south, or maybe in fairly average year as far as how far south it made it. And then Rick can take it from there from a climate perspective.
Yeah, so from the climate perspective, as Mary Beth said, we're likely to see a tale of two winters with, you know, La Niñas often bring increased chances for significantly colder than average winter, especially the second half of the winter after the new year. The climate side of the equation this year is going to be the fact that we have so little ice so late. So even if the weather does turn colder after the New Year's, we've got a lot of ground to catch up on. And like we saw last year, even if we do get you know, ice, even say to near normal in the eastern Bering Sea, we're going to run out of time for that ice to get very thick. So given where we're at now, that really loads the dice for what the winter can do. I mean, we're only 1 month away from winter solstice.
Thank you, Rick. And we are, speaking of time, we're running out of time here on the Exchange program today with KNOM, our guest Mary Beth Schreck, a sea ice analyst with the National Weather Service, and Rick Toman, a climate science and services manager with the Alaska region from the National Weather Service, have been speaking to us about sea ice. And Margaret's my co-host, is going to take it from here.
All right. Well, thank you both for joining us, and for Gay for calling in to the show this morning. We just want to open it up for the last couple minutes here to both you, Mary Beth, and Rick. Any final thoughts or comments, and then throwing out those phone number and contact information again for our listeners.
Well, we're seeing lower than normal amount of sea ice, you know, especially in the Chukchi Sea. It is growing along the coast. It's kind of fluctuating in how much growth there is, but you know, we do expect to see you know, more growth during the remainder of the winter through the Bering Sea, and. You know, but again, it will likely be thinner than what has been typically seen in the past. Our contact information here, we can be reached 7 days a week. Our phone number at the Sea Ice Program is, of course, 907-266-5138. And our email address is nws.ar.ice@noaa.gov.
Yeah, and this is Rick, and I'll just ask everyone in Western Alaska, stay safe. Let us know what you're seeing out there, ice, no ice, some ice, snow conditions. At the National Weather Service, you know, our saying is we can never have too much information in our quest to provide the best possible information to Alaskans. So let us know. My number is area code 907-458-3716.
All right. Thank you so much, Rick and Mary Beth Schreck from the National Weather Service, for joining us on today's Exchange here on KNOM. We'll be back with the exchange program in December, the first and third Tuesday of December before the Christmas break. Those topics are yet to be announced, but make sure you stay tuned to hear more about the conversation and make sure you join the conversation as always. Thank you again to Gay Sheffield and Noam for calling in as well. And thank you to my co-host, Margaret, for joining me on the show.
Thank you so much.
All right. Mary Beth and Rick Toman, thanks again for joining us.